Hey, everybody, this is Justin Michael Williams with Motivation for Black People, giving you trusted guidance to make your life better. And you see the title of this episode. It's Let Your Fears Make You Fierce. And we're talking about how you lean into your obstacles, how you lean into your pain, how you lean into the things that you feel like are stopping you in your life, and turn your common obstacles into seeds for growth. And I have no one other than, this is the best woman I could possibly have on the line with me right now, the one and only Koya Webb. Koya, say what's up?
What's up, Justin?
Oh, you guys, so I love this woman so much. You guys have to know that she's like one of the most important people to me in my life. So I'm really, really happy to bring her on this episode. But I'm not on here just to brag about how much I love her. I'm on here with her because she's really going to help you guys out. She has a book coming out on June 11th called Let Your Fears Make You Fierce, Turn Common Obstacles into Seeds for Growth. And if you don't know about Koya, this woman is one of the leading Black women in wellness. She has over 900,000 Instagram followers. She's been featured on NBC, CBS, Steve Harvey. She's worked at India RE and Stevie Wonder. This girl has got it going on. And she's going to talk to us today about how you can really lean into these struggles. We hear so many people say all the time shit like, oh, you know, you're supposed to grow from your pain or the challenges in life make you grow. But not too many people tell us how to do that. And Koya knows how to break it down. So Koya, thank you so much for being here right now.
Justin, you are so fabulous. Thank you so much for having me. I just, every time we talk, I feel affirmed and I feel so uplifted. And I just have to acknowledge you for that because, you know, in being fierce, one of the most important things I talk about in my book is really being around people that can lift you up when you're down. It's not easy to lean into love. And that's what we have to do. When these fears come at us, it's like, you know, self-love, self-care. But how when you're beat down so low?
Yeah.
It's like, how do I lean into love when my best friend just betrayed me?
Yeah.
How do I lean into love when my partner or someone close to me just died?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
How do I lean into love when I put all my eggs in this basket in my career and the rug is just slipped out underneath me? And so it's not just about how to do it when it's easy. Like, this book is how to do it when it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, really, really hard. And, you know, I'm experiencing it now. I'm going through, like, a teacher training. And, you know, I'm at a position where I'm responsible for all of these people. Not only loving myself, but loving others and pouring into them. And I realize the more I teach, the more I have to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
To hold space. And so I feel like this book is such a good tool and everyone's reading the book because we're facing some of those challenges as we go through the training.
Yeah.
Like how to really deal with, you know, and in this instance, it's about like disrespect, being disrespected, you know, and we experience that a lot in our culture, just straight up being disrespected, disregarded,
yeah,
insulted, you know, and it's easy to clap back. You know, we praise the clap back. Oh, I got to clap back for every single one, but that's not helping us heal.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
And you know, it feels like something that when you're really talking about this, especially on this podcast, like so many Black women and Black men, we deal with such a high level of disrespect and disregard, and being able to know how to come back at that without it always having to be a clapback, but having it be more of something that takes us toward our growth is super important. And you know, I just have to say, Koya, like you've always been one of those people for me since we met. It's just like when the rug gets pulled out from underneath me, you've been somebody who I've been able to lean on and to really have by my side so that I can learn how to grow from these situations. So I want to thank you for that. And also, one thing to say really quick to everybody listening, because I forgot to say it in the beginning, this girl Koya is on her book tour doing a whole bunch of stuff. So the only way we could get her on this episode right now is by getting her on the phone on the way. She's in the car on the way to yet another event. So if you hear any noises or cars or stuff in the background, just excuse that. It's a girl on the go. But we're just happy to have you here, Koya.
You're so amazing. And that's what I love. Like, you're always giving me permission, like, knowing that no one's perfect, but giving people space to, like, be themselves and still lifting them up because you know their heart. You know, like, what they're trying to do. And when you're growing, you're shifting, and you're really practicing all these things that you hear about on Justin's amazing podcast, you realize that, you know, wow, I'm changing and I'm shifting and people don't recognize me anymore. And sometimes you'll lose friends because you're not the same old person. Like, you're going places, you're doing things, and, you know, it gets hard too to maintain those relationships unless you're around people who really understand. And, you know, thank you for being that understanding friend that's like, all right, that's where you're at. Well, I'm going to meet you there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like, that's what we need.
Nothing better, because being fierce is just, it's not about, you know, like we were talking about the clapbacks, it's not about letting those things break you. Instead of letting those things break you, which it can in society sometimes, we feel like, oh, I'm so exhausted, I'm tired of dealing with this, I'm, you know, I'm down, I'm getting broke down and beat down. We have to let those things build us up. And how we let those build us, I think the number one way I've let the things build me up is I lean into love and lean into learning. Like, what can I learn from this situation that's gonna make me stronger? And specifically, when you're disrespected, one thing we know for sure, if someone is disrespecting you, they are not coming from a place of love. Somewhere along the line, they're working in fear. They're coming from a place of fear. They're coming from a place of disconnect. So having compassion, even though you don't agree, you don't approve, coming from a place of compassion, knowing that they're in fear, they're in hurt, allows you to move into a space of love. Allows you to say, you know what? I'm not going to, like Michelle Obama says, when they go low, I'm going to go high.
We go high. That's
right. We go high. And if you remember that, it will help you dissolve that fear of, you know, feeling upset and disrespected and hurt. It moves you into a place of power. But you have to make that acknowledgement in order to shift, because it's not easy just to say it. If you, okay, I know I should be loving, but I don't feel love in my heart. And a lot of the questions I get, like, how do I feel it on a soul level when I feel so hurt? I feel so disrespected. Compassion, there are two things that help me get past that darkness, and it's compassion and gratitude.
And so, okay, let's break this down a little bit, because I'm imagining, you know, and I know this, I think about a couple of my friends who, like, somebody does them wrong or somebody does something, they're just like, I can't help it. I had to say something. Like, I had to let them know. You know what I mean? Like, I just see, like, my sister banging her fist together, like, they didn't let me know. You know what I mean? They had to tell me. They ain't gonna tell me that. And I love you, Jessica. That's my sister. But, like, when you get in that state, the first step you said is compassion. So what does that mean? Break that down for us. How do we actually, like, experience that compassion?
Realizing when someone disrespects you, they are disrespecting themselves. Beyonce sang it best. When you hurt me, you hurt yourself.
Yes.
You hurt yourself, because we are all one. We're all one in this world. And when someone hurts you, it might be because they don't respect you. They don't feel worthiness. But usually it reflects back on themselves. They might feel like that they aren't worthy of love in certain instances. They might put others above themselves. So even though you feel like, oh, they're judging me, you best believe somewhere in their life, they're experiencing that same thing. It might not be you, but it might be with someone else. You can't put down someone without feeling less than someone in your life too, because it is a feeling, it is a personality thing. It's a way you look at the world. So if you have compassion, they just look at the world in a weird way. Because if they are putting you underneath, there is somewhere in their life that they feel underneath someone. They feel less than someone, right? Yeah. And so that is something that has to be healed within them. People that disrespect other people need their own space of healing. And so if you can look at it on a deeper than surface level, then, okay, they disrespect me, and have compassion. Okay, they disrespect me. So that obviously somewhere in their reality, they think that's okay. and they're disrespecting themselves and somewhere in their reality. If you know that for a fact, if you can breathe into that and believe that, that can give you compassion anytime you're disrespected. And you can remove yourself from the situation. It doesn't mean tolerate it. It means, okay, so if this is where they're functioning, they're in this space of hurt, of fear, of judgment, of whatever, how can I remove myself from this situation? How can I react in the way that I can shift this back to love? Because fear has different faces. Judgment, ridicule, disrespect, all of those fall under fear. So shifting it to love means first, have compassion. That's in alignment with love. That's the first thing. And then two, how can I move into a way where I get myself out of this fire, this crossfire? And that's when you can start making logical decisions. But unless you take that first step of compassion, it's going to be hard not to clap back. It's going to be hard not to like give all or even defend yourself, you know, because we want to defend. You don't have to defend love. Love just is.
Yes.
All you have to do is be love.
Yes.
Right? When you defend, you're moving into a place of fear because you feel like if I don't say this or do this, they're going to think that I'm a pushover. They're going to think that I'm this or that or what. No, it's not true. Mm. But that's moving to a place of fear if you have to defend yourself. But if you just breathe in love, well, this is who I am. Affirm who you are. That's another thing you could do. This is who I am, and this is how I'm going to move in this situation.
This is so good. And I think one of the things that I love, Koya, that you're saying right now that's really, really powerful. So I love this idea of like, how do I move to a space of love? One, like that's really important. And then as our goal, and then moving to a space of love does not necessarily mean that you absolve people of responsibility or that you have to keep putting up with them or you have to keep them in their life. It still holds people accountable and you can and move into a space of love, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I have this situation where I'm like, okay, I can no longer have this person in my specific training because they're being disrespectful to me. They're being disrespectful to other people. So even though I love this person and, you know, wish well for them, I have to remove because I can't allow myself and other students to be disrespected. And that's a decision I can make in love. I don't have to be mean. I don't have to call names. I can say, wow, you know, whatever it is, I don't have the time to talk to it, deal with it, you know, and I've addressed it a couple of times, but it's not working. Sometimes you'll try to do things to address it, but it doesn't work. So then you have to decide, how can I move a space of love and protect myself and protect my surroundings, my peace? And that does not have to be a clapback. It does not have to be a fight. It just has to be, well, based on this reality that is really happening, this is how I want to move. And then you just communicate. So you have to have compassion. Then you have to decide, how do I want to shift? How do I want to move? And then you respond versus reacting.
Ooh, okay. Unpack that a little bit for me. Responding versus reacting. Because I know, and me included, I know in a lot of moments we get on that urge to just react right away, especially when you're in somebody's face talking about something, you know?
So right.
How do you taper that moment down?
And a lot of times there can be some, you know, reacting, but it's always good if you do react to pull yourself back and wait and have compassion. So the unpacking, because people know, oh yeah, you know, I know I'm supposed to, you know, the reaction comes so fast. You're like, well, I didn't have time, right? But you can always go back and say, okay, wait a minute, how can I have compassion? So that even if you have said something, you can always pull it back and say, you know what, let me give this a moment. Let me have compassion because I see myself getting heated. And when you feel heated, when you feel tense, when you've said something that's out of character for you, that is a sign that, okay, I'm moving into a place of fear. Because you have to have signs because we're human. And this human experience, we're experiencing these things so we can grow.
Yeah.
So it's very human to get frustrated, upset. It's very human to like, you know, get a quick response. But once you do it or see it or even feel it, it's great when you practice it enough, just like yoga and meditation, you start to feel it before it happens. But this takes practice.
Yeah.
So once you feel it, you're like, compassion, compassion, compassion. How can I have compassion in this moment? You move from that state of fear, of victimhood, right, into compassion, and then you're able to make a response from a place of love. But if you don't have that initial compassion, then it's hard to like respond versus react. Or after you've reacted, it's hard to choose not to keep reacting. Well, okay, you're going to do this. Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And, you know, you make these rash decisions based on feeling like a victim, feeling hurt, feeling disrespected. And then you look at it a week and you're like, you know what? That was intense. I shouldn't have done all that. Whereas if in the moment you can have compassion, you can make that choice a lot sooner.
Yeah.
And you can save yourself and the other person a lot of hurt that could last a really long time.
Okay, this is so good. So the second point that you made in that, you said, okay, compassion, which is super, I'm going to just actually give one point here. Like, I remember one of my mentors, Robert Masters, he once said to me, like, you know, a lot of people think that we're supposed to overcome our anger and never be angry, right? But I have learned that, like, healthy anger is actually good for us. And he defined these two ways of looking at it. He said, you can differentiate anger from aggression. And basically, like, anger is fine. Anger is what drives change. Anger is what drives social justice movements. Anger is what incites us into action sometimes. But aggression is anger without compassion. And that was big for me because it was like aggression is like cutting people down. Aggression is the clapback. And aggression is like stooping to that same level that other people are on. And when we don't have compassion, then we fall into that aggressive category. When we have compassion, we can still be angry and protect ourselves, protect the people we love, and have it come from a place that is moving us forward towards a place of love instead of just trying to cut people down. So I really love this topic on compassion. Super important, especially as it dealing with conflict and obstacles. But I want to talk about gratitude because you said that was the second step. So what do you unpack there for gratitude for people?
So gratitude is that way that you bring it back to, okay, how can I heal? Because when we're assaulted, when we're disrespected, it's a wound. It's like if it was physical, it's like getting stabbed, right? And it hurts. It hurts. You can't unstab yourself. You can't unbleed. You can't take words back after they're said. I mean, you can say it, but still, it still had the impact. It's said. So gratitude helps you heal in any situation, saying, you know what? I'm grateful it didn't go farther than it did because I moved to a space of love. I'm grateful at least this way this person felt, they really felt, got out in the open, especially the stuff that's happening in society. At least the rug is pulled up. At least we see and more people can see the blatant things that are happening. So having that gratitude that a true situation, a true feeling expressed itself, allows it to be healed. It cannot be healed unless they are revealed. So that gratitude for the revelation of how a person is feeling is so key, because that allows us to heal, to see, to speak, to have conversation around what problems are. Yeah. And I think that is part of the human experience.
Okay, so what are some of your favorite ways to practice gratitude? Like in just like a real tangible way, how do you do it?
Well, I guess tangible is just, I just close my eyes and I just think about all the things that I'm grateful for. Like during my yoga teacher training, I'm just like, I am so grateful that I can teach holistic health and wellness to all of these people. I am so grateful that I have this platform to spread love consciousness in the world. I just start to recite everything I'm grateful for in the moment. And when I have time in the morning and the evening, I have a gratitude journal where I actually write down the things that I'm grateful for. And then when I go into meditation, I'm thinking, I am grateful for, and I start to visualize all the things that I'm grateful for. So I think saying it and then writing it down and then visualizing it in meditation, it really helps you feel and embody the gratitude. And I love, like, I have so many meditations that are on my website that really guide people through. And when people, you know, actually purchase my book, they get my 10 favorite fierce meditations that help you move into this love consciousness fiercely. Because I feel like being guided into this place, that it takes a lot of practice to, when you're disrespected, when you're frustrated, to go to love. And so this gratitude is going to take time of really just turning to it in every moment when you're frustrated, when you're angry. So I feel like that writing it down, the meditation, and just saying it in that moment
really instills that sense of gratitude into your soul.
Yeah, this is so important. And it's like what I love, and for everybody listening, you know, I've been talking about gratitude on here all the time if you've been listening for a while. And what I love about the practice of gratitude is this is not just some like woo-woo spiritual stuff, even though it is that. This is scientifically proven fact that they've like hooked people up. I remember one of the studies that they did, I can't remember which university it was, but it is a study where they got heart patients, like patients who had had heart surgery. And they found that the patients who had a daily gratitude practice recovered from surgery faster than the people who didn't. That means that like gratitude is affecting us on a cellular level. And obviously, like the mystics and spiritual people have known this forever. We talk about gratitude in the Bible and everywhere else and being thankful. And finally, I think it's amazing that science is catching up for all the skeptical people out there, you know?
So. Absolutely. And the reason it does, if you look at the Water Project, if you just Google Water Project and go to YouTube, what you say to water can really change the molecular structure. So if you need proof, if you need to see it happening with your eyes, what you say, if it can change water, of course it can change your cells. Yeah. And your cells is what causes cancer or healing. And so if you're saying these positive things to yourself and having gratitude after you've been hurt or neglected or disrespected, then that's going to heal. That's what's going to start to heal that hurt that you feel inside. And that's what we're talking about. How do we heal that trauma? Like after you've been traumatized, you want to be happy. You want to move to a space of love, but it's happened. So you actually have to practice this gratitude in order to heal.
Yes. Okay, Koi, I'm looking at the time and I'm like, we could talk to you about letting fears make you feel. We could unpack one of these topics forever. And so I want to ask you this question. What do you think is the most important lesson in your book, whether it's a story or a lesson or whatever, what's the most, if you could leave people right now knowing like, this is what I need you to know about letting your fears make you fierce, what is it?
That is a tough one. That is so tough.
I know. I knew I was going to throw a tough one at you.
Okay. One thing that I want you to know is that you are love. You are already fierce. So no matter what, in every moment, even though it doesn't seem like it, you can return to love. You can return to being fierce. No matter how bad you're knocked down, no matter how bad you're insulted, no matter what you go through, if you know without a shadow of a doubt, you are love, you are fierce, you are capable, you are worthy of love, to love and be loved. If you know that, you will get through anything. I really, truly, and you know this, believe this and function in this vibration. And when you are functioning in that vibration, although things will not stop happening, you will get through them again and again and again and again. And I know that for a fact. I've lived that.
I love it. And you know what I love that you said at the end is I've lived it, because for you to be able to write a book like this, I know you've been through some shit, right?
Girl, I've been through some stuff.
You know, so tell the people, I think maybe, you know, obviously you and I have shared many stories together, right? But what's one of the things that you've gone through that has helped you learn these concepts in a way that it's become so embodied that you're able to actually write a book about it?
You know, I think the most traumatic thing was just the assault, just the sexual assault, because you feel so violated and it's physical. Not only is it physical, but it's also emotional, and it sticks with you so long and it unpacks itself over time. And you realize in relationship, you're still functioning in a place of fear because of this assault that happened years and years ago. That's the most annoying fear and annoying thing I have had to deal with for such a long time, and I'm still dealing with it because it happened so young. And when those things happen so young, it's like, ah, and then it unpacks itself again in the next relationship. You're like, ah, and you try to do the work. So this is not a perfection thing. It is a practice. It is why we're here, to like really start to learn. And so you also have to have peace with the practice. You have to come to a place where you're like, okay, I realize that challenges happen in life so that I can grow and get stronger, and they're not against me. The things that are happening are for me to learn. And so even though I see I'm going through these challenges and it might be based on something traumatic that happened to me when I was younger, I'm able to have peace with it because I know I'm still living a great life. I'm still a good person. Yes, I'm dealing with challenges, but that doesn't stop me because I know who I am. I know I am love and I know I am fierce so that I can continue to live a healthy lifestyle, even though I still go through dark times. Yeah. And I think people think that they're going through dark times alone, or if they're some type of evolved, they shouldn't have dark times. And I think that's the biggest lie that people believe about themselves. Like there's something wrong with them because they have fears. There's something wrong with them because they have a breakup or about. No, it's part of the human experience to go through these challenges, but these challenges are meant to build our soul. They're not meant to knock us down. They're not done because it's punishing us. We're not being punished. We're living the human experience. And when you realize this is part of the human experience, you have peace with life. You have peace with yourself. And you have peace with others.
Yeah. And, you know, I think about people, two things, like people who are going through really big challenges, you know, just like deep, big challenges where sometimes they can't see their way out. And sometimes it feels like, oh, my God, this is just too much to bear. Because I know there's a lot of people out there dealing with some real shit. You know, that sometimes you can't see, you know, how do you get out? How do you as a leader and as a teacher help people see the light at the end of these tunnels?
The biggest way, and this is a whole chapter in the book, is it's called You Are Not a Victim, You Are a Creator. And realizing that you can create out of any situation, even the darkest ones create the brightest stories. And if you remember, you are not what happened to you. You are what you create from what happens to you. If they can remember that in the darkest time and remember that darkness does not last always, just like days and nights, you know, in the cycle of our world, in the cycle of 24 hours, there is darkness. Every single day, there's darkness. But then every single day there is light. And if we can remember and connect back to nature and remember that we go through those cycles as well, you have to know you will get through the darkness and there is light. And that light is in alignment with love and compassion and gratitude and everything that we've talked about. So the sooner that you can start to practice these things, the sooner you can get back to the light. It's about practicing these things and realizing you can create your own light out of any dark situation. Every single time.
And you know what I love about the way that you're comparing this to nature is like nature doesn't tell us like darkness is bad and light is good, right? Like nature tells us you need both. If it was light all day long and all night long, like all the plants will probably burn, you know what I mean, to death because they would have too much sun and we would have too much and we wouldn't be able to sleep. We wouldn't be able to recover. And so this time of darkness, which, you know, we're coining as difficult times or the times of the shadow, right? Which are the difficult times. I like to always think of these as kind of like the womb, like going deep underneath. Mm-hmm. And it's in this place, I think of like a beautiful crystal, like crystals and diamonds. They only get beautiful and polished by pressure. And that pressure happens deep underneath, deep in the darkness. And it's by this pressure that then we are actually able to come out and shine our brightest. Because without that, if there was nothing to overcome, then we would just be basic ass, but like we have nothing. You know what I mean? Like I would not be, you know, no depth. You can't find the depth without going deep. And you don't get deep when you don't have shit to overcome, you know?
Oh yeah.
So, oh, so real, Koya. This is so real. I just, first of all, want you to talk very clearly just about the book and what people can expect. When they buy this book, like, is it a practical guide? Like, how does it work? Talk a little bit about the book.
Thank you so much, Justin. I mean, I feel like this book, everyone needs to have this book in their library, not just because I wrote it, but because of the practice that I have learned from other people over time. I'm sharing in this book all the tools that I've used over the last 15 years to help me get past fear. And one of the biggest thing is that it is a practical guide that takes you step by step. We have yoga poses. We have meditation. We have my favorite music with words or without words to listen to. We have balancing your chakras and how to use crystals and essential oils. We have building your A-team, having people like you on your team and how that's going to build you up. We have how to turn victim consciousness into creative consciousness. So there's so many tools in every single chapter, how to turn limiting beliefs into things, to stepping stones. So there's so many chapters in each chapter. It's like workbook. You get to write down. There's space to write and take notes. And it's really a step-by-step guide and how to let your fears make you fierce and how to turn these obstacles into seeds for growth. So I really believe people are going to have this book and they're going to go back to it time and time again to work through problems as they come up in their lives.
I love this. And for those of you listening, I encourage you with my whole heart and soul and spirit to go get this book online. If you're listening the day this episode comes out, the book is available for pre-order. It comes out on June 11th, 2019. And then if you're listening after that, you can go on and order it now. And the best place to go to grab it is koyaweb.com. That's koyaweb.com. You can also order it like anywhere good books are sold, Amazon, whatever. But if you go to Koya's website, you get a ton of free gifts that she gives like for free when you order the book. And I strongly encourage you guys to get it, not only just because it's going to change a damn life, and I know this because this woman is the real deal, but also because we need to support each other, y'all. Like Black artists, Black creatives, Black people who are out here doing amazing work. We have to stand together. We have to support each other. We must, we will, we are. And Koya, you are one of those people who is spreading so much light and so much magic in the world. And it is such an honor that we are here incarnated in this life at the same time as you. It's just like such a gift and such a pleasure. And I'm so excited for people to read your book.
You're so sweet, Justin. I love you and I appreciate your love and support and how much you're doing in the community. Like everyone listening is blessed to have you as a guide and I am blessed to have you as a friend. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Is there anything you want to leave the people with before we sign off?
I love you. We are one. We are brothers and sisters in this together. So yes, let's stand together, support each other and heal together so that we can live in love consciousness.
Awesome. For you listening, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and your busy schedule to listen to us talk in your ear. It is an honor that I know Koya and I both don't take for granted. And all the links and everything you need about getting Koya's book are in the show notes. And if you haven't done so already, please rate and subscribe to this podcast. The more people who do that, the further we get our message of Black magic out into the world. This has been Justin Michael Williams. I love you, and I will talk to you in the next episode.